All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another Sunday morning. And we're looking at a topic called, well, we started a series last week. And that series is called, Who Do You Think You Are? Who Do You Think You Are? And basically what we're doing is we're looking at the way our mind and our mindset frames our lives and how it affects how we live our lives, the things that we do in our lives, and ultimately our walk and our life as believers. So last week, Deaconess Remy started off for the first part, and I think she did a great job. She was talking about the fact that you are who you think you are, which means that the way your life turns out, or the way your life will turn out, is entirely dependent mostly on the perception that you have about yourself. So if you think, well, I'm really inconsequential, I'm really no good at anything, then it's quite likely that that individual who has that perspective about themselves will not be able to do much in life because that's the opinion they have about themselves. But if you have another kind of mindset that you really believe everything that the Bible says about you, that you can do all things through Christ, you believe that your life should be an interesting life and that even the things that are around you that might not be that palatable, as the Bible says, they're working out for your good. Having that kind of mindset will ensure that you live a life that is fulfilled. So, what she spoke about last week, I'm not going to repeat it extensively, was that the moral of the story was that, look, the way you and I think really matters, and it affects the outcome of our lives ultimately. So, hence we're looking at the title, Who Do You Think You Are? Because whoever you think you are, or whatever you think you are, the person that you think you are in your mind is ultimately going to come out in real life. So that was what she looked at last week. Today we're going to carry on from there, from where she stopped. And I'm going to be looking at three things this morning that would help us. The first one is about how our minds influence us and how the Bible says, how God says, we need to really take control of our minds. God has saved us by grace. We don't do anything to warrant salvation. That comes freely from God. We just believe in Christ, that he died for our sins, and that's it. But when it comes to the renewing of our minds, when it comes to really walking out our Christian faith, God has placed the responsibility on us because he can't do that part for us. That's a part that we have to do ourselves. All right? So I'll look at that firstly this morning. That's the first point I'm going to look at. Then the second point I'm going to look at is something, well, after we've looked at the fact that your mind plays a very important part in your life and in my life, we're going to look at two kinds of mindsets that we can have. And it might be quite surprising that these two mindsets that we are going to look at, sometimes they're almost not noticeable to us. So we're going to look at something I call the normal mindset. The normal mindset. Then thirdly, I'm going to look at the kingdom mindset. And after that, we'll pray. So the first point is this. Your mind influences your whole life. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, the first part that Deaconess looked at last week, he said, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. So what the Bible is telling us here is this. It is what is in your heart, how you view yourself that matters ultimately. One can put out an outward appearance of confidence. One might put out an outward appearance of anything that, you know, someone wants to project. But ultimately, The Bible is telling us that it is the internal, who you think you are, or who you believe yourself to be internally in your heart, which is the deepest part of you, that is who you really are. Do you understand? So that's something that we need to pay attention to. I remember that that we have like a big celebrity culture nowadays, and there was this, and if you look at the life of some celebrities, I'm not saying all of them, there was this particular guy from the, I think in the 90s, this guy was a rock star celebrity. Known, he was part of a group, a band, very successful band in the world. And at the end of the day, this guy, he was quite a young guy, he shot himself. And he left a note, a suicide note. And in the note, he despaired of life. And he said, look, my life is worth nothing. My life is useless. I have just lived a life that has been unfulfilling. And yet, this man had thousands and millions of fans. And people were probably saying, wow, how I wish my life could be like the life of this celebrity guy. The guy has a plane, the guy has a nice house, the guy can buy everything, he can buy anything he wants. And it appeared that this man had, it appeared that he had everything that anybody could, that most people would aspire to. But that wasn't his life. That wasn't his life. His life was internal. And at the end of the day, in his own eyes, his life was worthless, even though all the people around him didn't think so. And he ended his life. So if you look at people, you realize that what we project sometimes is not necessarily what is going on inside of us. And the Bible makes that clear, that it is who you think you are that is the real you. And God knows that that's important. God knows that he doesn't want us to end up living a life outwardly that appears to be good, but inside we're just really suffering. How does God say we deal with this? Well, if you look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we're still on the first point that looks at the importance of our mind. So God says, look, I don't want you to turn out to live a life that is just unfulfilling. You might have a smile on your face. You might have all the things you have aspired to materially speaking, but inwardly, you're empty. Inwardly, you're not really enjoying the Christian life as you should. And the antidote that God gives to this is simple. He says we have to renew our minds and not conform to the patterns of this world. That is the only escape from this type of life, that's the only antidote that will help us to live the life that God wants us to live. So what it's saying here is that your mind is important. Your mind shapes who you are. Your mind, your mindset, what you think about, the views you have, will determine how far you go with God. It will determine how happy you are in your Christian faith. It will determine what happens to you. And not only that, it will determine what happens to those around you. Well, it will influence how you relate with those around you as well. So, who do you think you are? So that's the theme of what I'm looking at this month. So your mind is important. My mind is important. And the only way we can deal with our mind is by aligning it with what God says about us. All right? So that's the first point I'm making this morning. I'm going to make two more points. I said I'm going to contrast two types of mindset that we have. We all have it, by the way. But I want to distinguish it so that we can begin to really align ourselves with the way God wants us to live, starting from our minds. So I'm going to look at what I call the normal mindset. Then after that, I will look at the kingdom mindset. And this is really important. It's really, really important. Now, what have I said the normal mindset against, comparing it against the kingdom mindset? Well, bear in mind that I have not said a bad mindset. I've not said an evil mindset. I've said normal mindset. And I will read from Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 39. Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 29. This was Jesus speaking. And Jesus made a point here. He made a very interesting point. And he said that this is the type of mindset that will characterize our current generation. And when I read it out to you, you'll be like, what's the big deal about this? And I'll read Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 39. It says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days of Noah, before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So Jesus begins to say something here. He says, we're looking at the normal mindset. He says, what will be pervasive in the last days? The thing that will characterize the world we live in now is normality. He says people will eat, drink, go to weddings and all these things. People will go to work. People will go to school. People will do all these things. And it's like, so what's the big deal? Isn't that what we should be doing anyway? Yes, that's what we should be doing. You know, you should eat, go out, talk to your friends, have a good time, sleep, take your kids to school, so on and so forth. But Jesus didn't end there. He made a very interesting remark. So Jesus wasn't saying that, look, you guys don't do this. That's why I use normal mindset. He didn't say, look, you guys don't eat. He didn't say, you guys don't have a good time. Don't go to weddings. No, he didn't say that. The point he made was this. He said that, and they knew nothing about what would happen. So it was like these guys were living in a war zone and they didn't see the battle raging around them. These guys were not conscious that, look, there is more to life than just eating, drinking, waking up in the morning and going to work. So Jesus said something that will characterize the last days is a lack of consciousness, lack of knowledge about what God is doing. Lack of knowledge about what God is doing. So, what is God doing now? What is God doing now? God is doing a lot. God is doing a lot in your life. God is doing a lot in the earth. God is doing something in your spirit. God is doing a lot of things in fish ponds. He's doing a lot of things around you. He is doing a lot of things in the life of your children. However, you need to be conscious. I need to be conscious. Otherwise, he said something here, which to me is quite scary. He says, and they knew nothing that would happen until the flood came and took them away. So what happened is this. You and I can live a life that is normal. We can go to work, chill with our friends. And we do that day after day, day after day. And you wake up one day and you're 90 years old. And you're gone. So one would have lived a life thinking, wow, I have lived a good life, which God has helped you to do. Then you now get to the point where you face Jesus on the last day and he's like, what happened to you? You lived your life as if you knew nothing about what God was trying to do through you. So this is the normal mindset that we have as regular people. But the dangerous thing about having just this mindset is living our lives on a daily basis without being conscious that there is something besides you going to work and having paying your bills and all these things. There's something aside from that. There is something that has to do with God in your life. There is. So Jesus said that this is what it's going to look like in the days that we're in. We will just live our lives normally, which isn't bad. But there will be a lack of understanding, a lack of consciousness of God in our lives. And we think, well, that's just how life is. Jesus said, no, that's not how life is. He doesn't want us to end up with a life that is half-lived. When I say half-lived, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So there is a part of you that is life, your everyday life, but there is a part of you that is spiritual, that God has an assignment for you. He has something that he wants to do with you and through you as well. All right? So that is what I call the normal mindset. And realize, I didn't say the bad mindset. It's normal, but it has its challenges if we want to remain in the normal space. The third point that I'm going to make, and after that we'll pray, is what I call the kingdom mindset. So remember, I started in the first point by saying that our minds and our mindset will determine how we live our lives, and it will determine how God accomplishes his purposes in our lives. Second point is that we can have a normal, everyday mindset, which isn't bad, but it could lead to a life that will not fulfill what God wants that life to fulfill. So the third point is the kingdom mindset, the mindset that God wants us to have as individuals, the mindset that God wants us to have as a church. Now, I will read two portions of scripture here. The first one is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So what does that mean? That means that in the kingdom mindset, we should swap the priorities in our normal mindset. It appears that the priority for a lot of us, which isn't a bad thing, is I want to just make sure that I accomplish what I want to accomplish. I am successful at work, or I have a good life. I can pay my bills. My children are fine. My nieces, my nephews, I'll give them, you know, presents and make sure that I'm fine as well. God says something here. He says the priorities need to be swapped where that becomes secondary in your life. Why? He wants the primary thing in our lives to be to really seek God's kingdom. Well, what that means is to prioritize the things of God. Prioritize your knowledge of God, getting to know God. Prioritize the things of the church. And Jesus didn't say, do that and that's the end of it. He says, look, as we prioritize his kingdom, as we prioritize what he has called us to do, as we prioritize getting to know him, working in the context of the church, he says, all these other things as well, God will add them to you. So God isn't saying we should discard our everyday life. God isn't saying we should just be irresponsible in our responsibilities. He's not saying that. But he's saying that we need to amend and reprioritize. Why? So that we can have the kingdom mindset. So that in everything that pertains to us, in our finances, in our aspirations, in the things that we want to do, God takes priority. Do you understand? All right. That God takes priority. I remember, I went to Canada and I was my sister there. And I had a chat with a lot of people, and what they were telling me was like, wow, Canada is such a nice place. You know, they took me around. Their space, the houses are bigger than British houses. The roads are cool. Everything is chill. There's no stress. I was like, man, they have mountains. They took me sightseeing. I was in a place, I thought I was in a movie. There was like a mountain, and on top of the mountain, just right by me, at the top there was snow. They call it Rocky Mountains. I'm like, man, this is so cool. I saw lakes. I took pictures by the lake. I went to one resort. It was like a cowboy town. I had core Mexican nachos and all that. Not the kind you have in England, although I would dispute that a bit. I'm not quite sure. I felt as if I was on a movie set. And they're saying, you know what, Pastor B, right? Relocate to Canada. What are you doing in England? Everything is so this thing. Everybody was telling me, I was like, hang on. I didn't come here for you guys to be telling me this. And at one point I was like, man, even like the houses there and all those things. I was like, man, this is cool. But do you know what I said to them? I said, let me tell you guys one thing. Because people are just telling me, relocate. Like, I want to close my ears to this relocation business. And what I told them was this. For me as an individual, God sent me to Bristol. He whispered it in my ears that we should come to Bristol. So for me, irrespective of the niceties you guys have in Canada, irrespective of the prospects. Thank you very much. I cannot relocate to Canada. I can't. Why? Because my mindset is the kingdom mindset. Neither will I relocate to London if they offered me £1 million there. Neither will I relocate to Dubai if I got a job for $2 million. Neither will I relocate to any place. Someone is smiling at the back there. Pastor, if they give you $2 million, are you sure you won't relocate? That's the look they're giving me from behind there. That, Pastor, if I put $2 million in your account, say relocate, won't you just? That's the look they're giving me at the back there. But I'm not going to look in that direction. But the point I'm making is this. The Bible says something. It says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Now, that's talking about something else, but if I recontextualize that, what will it profit a person? You gain all these things, but at the end of the day, the thing that God has called you to do, it might just be ushering in the church. It might just be doing sound in the church. Yes, I'm the pastor of the church and I preach. But if I were an usher in the church and I wasn't the pastor, if there was something I was doing in the church, I would still have the same mindset that this is exactly where I'm meant to be. I remember in the days when I used to do like IT contracting a lot, and I used to move around the country a lot. And then I was not a pastor. I wasn't even a leader. I was just, I think I'm usher or as in whatever. I was just like a regular church person. And We were living in West London then. This was before we came to Bristol. And one thing I always said was this. In fact, I had a job once. And, well, one thing that I always did was this. Any job that I got then, I will ask them one question. The question is, we have prayer meeting on Friday, and I'm part of the prayer people. Will I be able to make it back to London on Friday? If they said, sorry, you have to, you know, job canceled, I'll reject the job. Job canceled. There was a job that I had, I was managing people in India, a lot of people I was managing were in India and in England. And my boss told me then, he said, look, you have to go to India for a month to stay with these people so that your team is in India. And I said to him, boss, I can go to India on Monday, but I must be back on Friday, otherwise I'm not going anywhere. And he looked at me. He said, am I serious? I said, sorry, boss, I will go on Monday, and on Friday, if you guys can buy a ticket for me like that, but for me to go to India for a month, forget it. I'm not good. I can't do it. And people in the room were shocked. They said, why? I said, because of church. Because of church. Then grumbled. I said, I didn't even look at them. Eventually, they said, okay, go to India. And I went to India on Monday, and I came back on Friday. I tell you, I came back on Friday. Friday. Why? Because I have a responsibility to the mindset of the kingdom. Because I know that no matter what I achieve in this world, no matter whatever I think I'm doing, at the end of the day, what really matters is that I fulfill to the best of my ability what God has called me to do. Now, how did I get there? And I mean it. Nobody can offer me anything that will make me, unless God whispers it in my ears to leave Bristol, that, okay, your job's done here. Obviously, by that time, all of you will be pastors and all that. You can't sort yourself. I'm not going anywhere. Yeah. I'm not going anywhere. Now, so the question is this. Why am I thinking that way? Am I saying I'm perfect? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there are two kinds of mindsets that we can have. One is the normal mindset. And the normal mindset will be, let me move. My career says I should move. Move. God, we can catch up later. And am I saying if you have a career move, you shouldn't move? Please, don't quote me. You can make the choices that best suit you. If you have to move, move. Do you understand what I mean? I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just saying for me, this is what God wants me to do. Maybe God wants you to move to do something else. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But I'm saying that, look, what are your priorities? What is the basis for your decision? What's the basis? You understand? Do you want to have the normal mindset? Which is fine. Realize I didn't say bad mindset. If you want to live your life that way, God will still love you. You still get to heaven, by the way. Or, do you want to live with the kingdom mindset, which prioritizes the mission of God above every other thing? God says, if you're going to do that, it's not something you will wake up to automatically and you'll be like, I'm ready to go. He says the way you get there is by renewing your mind with the Word of God. Allowing the Word of God to change you. Allowing the Word of God to change your opinions, to change your perspective, not you trying to make it work yourself. You can't just wake up and say, okay, offer me 1 million and I'm not going to go. No, it's not something that happens automatically. You have to allow the life of God through the Word of God to do something in your heart by studying the Word of God and letting God become the priority in your life. That's how you get there. And I was just thinking to myself, I was talking to last week, and I said, look, for me personally, this is my own view, right? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 that we read, it says, seek first the kingdom and every other thing that you need will be added to it. And I told the person that if God tells me to move to any country, by the way, let's say he tells me to move to Sudan, where I don't know anyone, where maybe the economy is not so good. I said, as long as it's God that has whispered it in my ears, that there is no country that I go to, there is nowhere I go to that, when I get there for the sake of the gospel, whatever I need, God will give it to me. If I need a house, God will give me a house. If I need a car, God will give me a car. If I need money, God will give me money. Even if nobody in the place has money, God will get it to me. So, what does that mean? It means really making a choice for us that, look, from today, I might still have the normal mindset, which is fine, but I want to begin to shift towards the kingdom mindset so that anything that has to do with God becomes a priority in my life above any other thing. And Jesus said something, and after this we'll pray. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus says in Luke 14, 26, he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. So is Jesus saying we should hate our parents or hate our wife? No. He's just using it as an analogy to say, look, I know you guys love your parents. You guys love your children. So the intensity with which you love your parents and your children, I'm saying that if you do not have the same intensity of determination that you want to follow me, then he says that person cannot be a full disciple of Christ. So he's not saying we should hate our parents and all that. He's saying comparing the love you have for your children, the love you have for your wife or your spouse, if that love you have can compare with the love that you have for Christ, then he says, we are just at the starting point. Okay? So, I'm going to end today and we will pray. So we're looking at our topic, who do you think you are? We've said that our minds are important. It shapes our mindset, the way we think, our views. We've looked at the fact that there is the normal mindset, which is the mindset that we all have. But that mindset has limitations because it will only focus on the now and the things that we want to attain. But God wants us to move beyond that to the kingdom mindset, which will prioritize the work of God, the mission of God, above our own aspirations. And God has said as we do that, he will sort out everything around us. So you're not going to do it at a loss. It might be challenging, inconvenient sometimes, I must say, but worth the effort. So this morning I'm going to end there. And I believe that we're in an interesting season as a church. We're in a season where God has a lot for us. And I think there are times that people look at me and like, Pastor B, why are you so excited? Is there something that we're not really seeing in this whole matter? Yes, I'm excited because I know that God has a good plan for us as a church. I'm excited because when I look at you, I see the potential that God has in you that maybe you might not be aware of. I look to the future and I see the future that God has for us as a church. I see the future that God has for your children. I see the future and I see a future that God has for every individual here. That's what gets me excited. That's why I'm not moving to Canada. Irrespective of what they tell me, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. I'm not moving to Dubai either. Why? Because I've made up my mind that I'm going to have the kingdom mindset. Let's rise up and pray. The only thing I'd like us to pray about this morning is really to ask for God's help to live this Christian life. It's not easy when you have to sometimes prioritize what God wants you to do above your personal aspirations. But it's possible. So this morning we just want to pray. And we want to pray. The prayer I want to pray is, God, help me to move from this normal mindset to the kingdom mindset. Help me to prioritize you above and beyond everything that I desire. Help me. We need God's help. It's not something we can do on our own. Do you understand? Even Jesus, when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was faced with God's will to die on the cross, Jesus said, God, is there another way I can do this? Do I have to really go through this thing that you want to go through? And God didn't answer him. He answered himself and he said, not my will, but your will. So Jesus faced it as well. And the Bible says that Jesus was strengthened. Angels came to strengthen him. So we'll just pray for God's help this morning. Our Father and our King. Father, I thank you. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for calling us to be workers together with you, for calling us into partnership with you, to make sure that your kingdom on this earth is established, to bring joy and hope to people in the earth through the gospel. Father, this morning as your church, I'm asking for your help. Strengthen us to be able to have this kingdom mindset. Help us to prioritize you above everything that is so dear to us, because you have said even as we do that, you will take care of those things. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. Father, we thank you. I pray for anyone who is unwell. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, that he bore our sicknesses and infirmities. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, 24, by his stripes we are healed. For anyone who is unwell in their body, in any part of your body, I speak healing to it in the name of Jesus. I speak strength to your bodies in the name of Jesus. For those who are awaiting opportunities to turn up, opportunity has come your way in Jesus' name. For those who are looking to move forward in a direction that God has ordained for them, I speak ease into your journey. Father, I thank you. I thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for all that is yet to be apparent that you've done. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.